creation can be not so much talking, but more being. So David Friedman. Close your eyes. Comfortable. Underneath the noise, underneath the bustle, there's a silence. If you listen, you can almost hear it. Underneath the rush, underneath the hustle, there's a quiet where it's safe and there's no need to fear it. There you might find joy, and there you might feel pain. Memories and dreams may visit from your youth. But if you can be still, your search won't be in vain. But deep inside the silence, you will know the truth. God is in the silence. God is in your heart. God is ever present. If you're looking for God, the silence is a good place to start. Life's not what we have. Life's not what we do. Life's not what the outside world is. Life goes on inside, and there we cannot hide from the fact that we are each human being. In the silence, we are free from physicality. We can always make the choice to go in. And in this world within, there's no more who's open. There's just one simple truth. Get to know him. God is in the silence. God is in your heart. God is ever present. If you're looking for God, the silence is a good place to start. So quiet. Make the choice. Be still, and you will find. In the silence, you can hear a still small voice. Saying, God is in the silence. God is in your heart. God is ever present. If you're looking for God, the silence is a good place to start. If you're looking for God, the silence is a good place to start. The silence.
So we give thanks for all the information we have. could just receive. And we come back refreshed, renewed, fully aware of the good that has just taken place, that we may say thank you and amen. So we have a brand new soul this year. Of course, we met this wonderful woman of a day that I've been doing a lot of Canyon Ranch, the Berkshires, and we've been doing a lot of that because we were invited to someone talk to us today. She is the program director. I'm sure. Program director. That's must be okay because she said yes. Of Canyon Ranch, and she puts together all the entertainment, all the various lots of stuff. She works a lot. Looks like Brit does it all the time. We'll do that. They'll remind me after. Very nice. So we will do that other thing. Anyway. So she reached out to David Friedman, because a friend of ours recommended David Friedman should come up and do music there. So she reached out, and David and I went up to Karen Mason, and we did a concert. And it was during COVID, and we were wearing masks all the time. But after the show, this one said here, said, well, I sing too. And so David said, I'll sing. Well, my gosh, she doesn't want to sing. She's quite phenomenal. And so now she is the featured artist of the David Friedman concerts at Canyon Ranch. She's about to make her Don't Tell Mama debut in December. And today she's making her Unity of New York debut. And not only does she, because we do workshops now up there because of her, she's our friend. Won't you please welcome Samantha Talar.
Life was more.
the car.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, if life were different. Oh, if only life were different. Does anybody remember in my classes what I have said is the greatest cause of suffering? It's being here and wishing I were there. Here isn't good because I'm wishing I were there. And so what I'm saying is, God is not. God's over there. Love isn't here, love is over there. Peace isn't here, peace is over there. Joy isn't here, joy is over there. You know, if I were 10 years older or 10 years younger, if I had hair, if I had curly hair, if I had different color hair, I would be happy. Because, you know, I grew up watching those old musicals, didn't you? And they were amazing. You always knew about 90 minutes to 2 hours, everything was going to work out, and the people were going to be happy. And I went, well, I don't want you to watch the movie Chicago or something, but it's on. But the old-time musicals, I met some of the stars of those old-time musicals, but they were not happy when they walked off screen, because they were still wishing they were back in the movie. They were still wishing, because adult influences. They were never happy where they were. And so I could say that I shouldn't be happy where I am. I have, you should be grateful. But that's not the same as here is somehow good. Here, life. There's love. There's joy. Instead, there is God. I should be afraid of getting caught by God doing something wrong, doing something bad, doing something that I shouldn't be doing, and God will, punish us. Why would I get on board with loving that God? Why would I embrace that? Why would I embrace these adults who were so confused? And so what I grew up thinking is I was somehow thinking they were bad, and in a big pot of limitation. As I grew older, and I realized, I want different. Now, today I thought, let's talk about our power of imagination, one of our 12 divine mind faculties, third eye, it's right here. And what I say is, imagination is the power that can turn obstacles opportunities. Otherwise, I'm misusing it and I'm turning everything into chaos. Because I can use my imagination for that. Any of our 12 divine mind faculties, I can use or misuse. I can use or misuse God, I can use or misuse love, I can use or misuse peace, joy, whatever. I want to use it. I want to use it properly. I want to use it productively so that I can, as I mentioned last week when I did the silence, be here now. And in the being here now, all that I could ever want for joy is available. Everything that I could ever want for joy is available. Isn't that the coolest thing? Because it wasn't until I came to Unity that I found that out. Oh, everything. Now, it may not look like I had imagined, don't get me wrong, but my imagination. I want to feel like this, and if I felt like this, then perhaps I would have the courage to experience this, try this, to do this. In my imagination, I can wear my ring. In my imagination, I do. You know, look at the prince you're seeing on this stage today. And because in my imagination, I see that. I would feel lighter if I wore that. And I don't mean weight, and I mean demeanor. I mean my faith. I mean, am I embracing everyone? And so, I thank goodness my family did not discourage me from prints. Or vivid colors, or pastels. I didn't get criticized for that. And so I fully embraced that kind of stuff. I'm going to read this because I don't want to miss quote. And it comes out of the revealing word. It says, the metaphysical meaning of imagination. The faculty of mind that images and forms the power to shape and form thoughts. The imaging faculty resides at the nerve center between the eyes. Through this faculty, the formless takes form. With our imagination, we lay hold of ideas and clothe them with substance. The body is the product of the mind. What man pictures or imagines in his mind will eventually appear in the body. Hear that, they go either direction. In the communication of God with man, the imaging power of the mind plays an important part. It receives divine ideas and reflects their character to the consciousness. According to Scripture, this is the opening of the heavens and the scene of the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now, an example I really like to use a lot because it's simple. There was a time when somebody wanted to sit down, and they didn't want to sit down on the ground. What am I going to do? And so they saw a board on the ground, a piece of wood. And they thought, oh, what do I know? Let me get some sticks and attach it to that board. Oh. Now, they could sit down on a stool. And then they said, but I want to rest. I want to be back. So they found another board and attached it. Now they had a chair. That chair didn't exist except through the imagination. And it was the imagination that could see a board and say, I can do something with that. I need some sticks. They could begin to envision it. It's what we did to create Unity of New York. We could envision it. We could do this, we could do this. It's your wherever you live, you know, you do something. Everybody wears clothes on today. Because you imagine getting dressed. And we take so much of that for granted. And we ought not, because the same power that was used to make the chair, that was used to make our clothing, that was used to make our anything, our apartment, our sidewalks outside, anything that makes the thought, I bet people would like coffee on every corner. You know, different people's imaginations of, well, I'm gonna make it this way. I have to get a license to open up a store, you know, whatever you have to do, permit. And then somebody said, well, I'm going to make coffee this way because I think that would be pretty nifty. And I think I would do it this way. And so suddenly, there's lots of coffee around. Now, we can use our imagination to look at that and say, they thought this up. And then go to a coffee shop. Or we can use our imagination to complain about all the coffee. Which brings you up, which brings you down, which opens you up to imaging, to seeing. What Samantha just sang about, what David wrote about a couple of years ago, if life were like a musical, I could do this, and I could do this, and you start to get the feeling of it all in your body. You start to get the feeling of it yourselves, and you begin to respond. Several years ago, I think it was the first time I did the Vipassana with the 10 days of silence I spoke about last week. There was one point in the silence, one long hour, that I imagined David and I renting a yacht. And we invited about 10 friends to go on this trip. And we did. I couldn't tell you what part of Europe it was in. Now the trip. But when I kind of came to, my first thought was to say, it didn't happen. It felt so real. I said, don't you dare. Don't you dare take that trip away from me, Sean. How is it different than any vacation I've ever taken? When I'm back here, it's all still in my imagination. It's all still in my body. So for that hour, I went on a real trip. On and on, on all that. And it felt wonderful. Why should I rob myself by saying, that's not real? That didn't actually happen. It happened in my psyche. It happened in my spiritual self. It happened. And I don't question it. I don't fill myself with disappointment. Now, some of you have heard this story before. It bears repeating. And I hope you'll use it for you. If you're not happy being who you are today, being where you are today, I suggest you look into it. As I did this healing journey through 12-step recovery, through unity, one day I woke up, many years ago, fingers into it, and I thought, I like myself today. When did that happen? I'm trustworthy today. When did that happen? I wouldn't go through anybody's medicine cabinet now or closets. If I came into your home, you can trust me not to look anywhere I'm not supposed to. I am a respectable citizen. When did that happen? But it happened. And I thought, pretty good to be Sean today. And I didn't always know that. And I thought, well, how did I get here? And I realized it had taken my entire life to get here. Every part of it. Every person in it. And that included my family. I blamed them for a lot because I thought if they hadn't done that, then I would be happy. You know, my agreement with myself and unspoken agreement with them is, if you just make it not happen, I'll forgive you. Well, that's impossible. All I can do is change the meaning. And so, that day I realized it took every bit of that to make me now. And I could begin to become grateful for all that had happened. Their part, my part, every part, society's part. Because I was happy with this. And I thought about it. Because, I've said this one before, but it bears repeating that sometimes they did the best they could. And I say their best was awful. It was just awful when it happened. But later on, I could reflect on it and realize if it had been one bit different, I couldn't be me. Hence the talk today. If life were different, I wouldn't be me. And I'm okay with being me. And I let my mother know that before she made her transition. And with my father, he had already transitioned. But I realized when I was at where they'd scattered his ashes out in Arizona, and I thought, it's okay that he left. I didn't need him not to have left anymore. I didn't need them not to put down what they did. Imagine if we all said everybody agreed with that, including ourselves. But we have to become okay. Realize I am good as I am. Just as I discovered at my first unity service up at Lincoln Center, and I realized in God I am good. Capital G, good. In God I am good, so is my neighbor. Whether I like them or not. Well, I am good. We are good. God has nothing to do with how we have behaved. It has nothing to do with how we feel. It has to do with what I am. And I am God's beloved child. I am a direct product of God. Because you see, if I'm trying to separate us based on personalities rather than principle, then there is no unity. There is no unity between. And it's lonely. Have you ever noticed that? It's lonely separating yourself from other human beings. Even the ones who do some of the most horrific things in our society. Me being separate, oh, I want to grab that. I have a little tinge of loneliness. That God-shaped hole appears here. What I've started doing is becoming willing that they find joy, that they become joy-filled. Anybody that I have a judgment about, I pray around. Sometimes I still make fun of them, don't get me wrong. But behind their back. But it's but I still sometimes I'm in my driveway and I'll think about the words where I remember last night. I looked in the neighbor's house, I don't care for it. And I thought about some other figures in society, and I thought, how do I become fully aware that they become joy-filled? Because here's the secret around that. Joy-filled people don't hurt other people. And so, who's responsible for their behaviors now? Them or me? Because if I'm going around complaining about them, criticizing them, judging them, who's maintaining the problem? Them or me? And some people are not going to be happy until those other people are either evaporated, or they apologize, or they get caught doing something, whatever. I've just got to become willing that all beings become joy-filled. I don't know what that looks like. I don't want to make something. They get away with it. So nobody gets away with anything. None of us get away with anything. As a kid, I used to steal. I didn't get caught, but I didn't get away with it. Because I walked around knowing I was a thief. I walked around knowing I was a liar. So that's part of my not knowing that I was good in God. Because I thought those things. I want to make amends and what have you later on. And so that's part of my journey. It'd be me. So those people we don't care for in society, if they were different, I wouldn't be me. All the thoughts I've had about this. But my training, as it were, I didn't come into unity because it was a church. I came into unity because it was a spiritual philosophy for positive living. At least that's why I said I came because I was invited. I stayed because it was a spiritual philosophy for positive living. I wanted to live positively. I stayed because I saw a sign that said Unity School for Practical, back then it was called Christianity. And I thought, well, Christianity isn't just a theory. It's not something those people do. And those people I don't care for, actually. But it's something that is practicable. If it's practical, then it must be practicable. So I began to look in what's the heart of Christianity? What is the heart of spirituality? What is the heart of that? And I looked for people who were happy practitioners. The people that didn't need to go around in judgment. The people that were willing to say, oh, they'll change when it's time. They'll change. This is all change. I could have changed before it was time for me, but I'll change when it's time. Those realizations is why I've stuck around, why I've tried to pass along the message. I wanted to become a minister, not because I was at all religious. I wanted to become a minister because I wanted to pass along the message that there's spiritual solutions to any confusion. There's always spiritual solution. And I try to pass along to those who want it. And some people don't want it yet. And I try not to judge. I just instead observe my own disappointment. Because I want to play this in sandbox with everybody. Ooh, let's try this, let's try this. It's fun. Let's sing together. This little light of mine, this little big light of mine. So look at all that. So from there, I thought about it. Let me Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament comes out of 1 John chapter 4. And it says, "Dear child, I've already told you that the work to be done is the sorting of thoughts. This includes the sorting of feelings, beliefs, and images. Everything that you experience within the dream of the world comes from one of two sources. The thinking mind, which is the mass of separation, or the Holy Spirit, which is the true desire of the heart. So, would you desire Holy Spirit today? If you want another word for it, go ahead. But would you desire that? Would you interrupt certain thoughts and say, well, wait a minute, I'd rather have Holy Spirit in my consciousness than this resentment. I'd rather have Holy Spirit in this thought instead of my thought that something good is missing. I'd rather have Holy Spirit in my full frontal consciousness and say, okay, I don't have all the answers, but I'm not going to make them up. I'm not going to look for answers where there aren't any." Samantha's about to come out and sing another song, David Friedman. And I thought about the lyric for this, because it's a specific lyric. But I thought, what is my word for that? What is it? Because it's about passion. And as long as I have this passion, I feel like I can function. I feel like I can do what ought to be done by me, think what ought to be thought by me, this passion. And so I invite you, as one of the things, and some of you all identify with the exact words. But I, as long as I love God, I know I'm fine. As long as I can remember truth and wisdom, I'm fine. As long as I really know the true passion. Because there's lots of stuff I want to experience, but not at the cost of what my true passion is, my true love is. And so that true love, let's face it, is what we want is connection. The true passion we have is to know you are one. And for some of us doing certain activities, doing certain behaviors, as long as I can do this, then I know. I don't have to worry about the newspapers and what they say. I don't have to worry about which TV station say which. I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry. I can become conscious and aware, but I don't have to worry. Nowhere does my Bible tell me I should be worried today. Yes, it says to your God, what that really means is respect. Respect the good that God is. And respect what misusing your powers can do. Don't fear them. Respect them and say, oh, when I think like this, I'm not getting all cash prizes. And when I think like this, and many people think they're thinking properly, and they're not getting cash prizes either. But I invite you to look, what am I getting? If I'm doing everything I think I'm supposed to do within my thought process, and I think I'm not getting what is rightfully mine, I need to rethink. Myrtle Fillmore, who is his co-founder, she began to get sick again. And she said, "What's up? I'm doing everything. I put through all my faults." And Spirit, the voice within her said, "Now look through your assets. Look through what you think is good about you." And she did, and what she found was pride. She found her pride was back from wellness. She found that, I never let anybody see I'm sick. I don't have to make her sick. She had to find a way to turn it all over to what we call God, turn it all over to love, to turn it all over to peace and joy and wisdom, turn it all over to Spirit. One of my favorite instructions in my prayer life is, Spirit, tell me what to think about this. And I trust that if I have asked, I have been told, whether I know I've been told or not, or what I've been told, I trust that because I took the time to ask, Spirit's got nothing better to do than tell me. I may not get the answer consciously right now. 6 hours from now, I'll know what to think when I normally would be confused. So I invite you, if you listen to Samantha, to consider, what is it that ignites my greatest passion? Thank you.
Thank you.